Despite some controversy, President Trump's pick to replace now Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh was confirmed by the Senate this week. Judge Naomi Rao became the 36th judge Trump has appointed to the federal courts of appeals, which, according to the Washington Post, means that he's now appointed one out of every five circuit court judges. The appointments are part of a broader effort to change the ideological makeup of the federal court system, a priority for both the president and for Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Kimmy King is a professor of political science at the University of North Texas. Kimmy, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be back.
Let's start with this latest bit of news, Kimmy. Naomi Rao, the president's pick to replace Brett Kavanaugh since he moved up to the U.S. Supreme Court. Why was her confirmation controversial?
It was controversial because of some things that she had said in her earlier days, also in part because of her judicial background. She doesn't have the typical kind of judicial record that we look for in someone going on to one of the courts of appeals. And it's also because this is because it's a very tense time in terms of the Senate judicial nominees, and it comes on the heels of Brett Kavanaugh's appointment to the Supreme Court and a record number of appeals judges being appointed by President Trump.
We pay a lot of attention to the Supreme Court, Kimmy, us in the media, I think the public and voters. Can you talk about the importance of these appeals courts?
So the fact of the matter is that where the real action happens in the federal court system is in the federal district courts, and then it's in the federal courts of appeal. And quite frequently, we do not pay nearly enough attention to those courts because they decide the vast majority of cases. Last year, we saw, you know, the U.S. Supreme Court decide only 69 cases, but you will see thousands of cases decided in the courts of appeals and over hundreds of thousands of cases decided in the district courts. And so if you want to systematically change what kinds of cases land in front of the Supreme Court, the action is in the lower federal courts. And President Trump has appointed a record number of judges in those lower courts, given the limited term that he's had in office.
Why has he been able to appoint a record number?
It's because, in large part, knowing that they were coming into a 2016 potentially successful presidential candidate and then holding the Oval Office, the Republicans began to strategically block President Obama's lower court appointments and then additionally Supreme Court appointments in the last 2 years of President Obama's presidency. And so they are kind of reaping the benefits of being able to fill all of these vacancies. In fact, after this last set of appointments to the federal courts of appeals, President Trump will have now appointed one in five federal appellate judges on the bench. And that's fairly substantial when you look at the numbers.
Are these lifetime appointments, these appeals court judgeships, as are Supreme Court appointments?
Yes, they are. And it's very difficult to remove them. The fact of the matter is that we have about 179 authorized courts of appeal judges and 673 authorized federal district court judges. And so these judges will serve for a lifetime tenure. And so keep in mind that in the last 2 years, the GOP-led Senate has put on, you know, two Supreme Court justices, as many as President Obama was able to put on, 30 circuit court judges, and 53 lower court judges. So President Trump and Senator Mitch McConnell, as well as the head of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Lindsey Graham, have moved very quickly and very efficiently in making sure that these vacancies that had stood out there for so long under President Obama were quickly filled.
And it sounds like it's becoming harder for the minority party in the Senate to block judicial appointments. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. In fact, one of the things that you saw this last week was that there was a planned conference change in the Senate Judiciary Committee. And what they're going to be doing is they're going to be limiting debate to 2 hours on judicial appointments rather than the customary 30 hours after you get that vote of cloture, which the vote of cloture is just a fancy way to close off debate. So that's one way in which the GOP-led Senate has been able to change the rules. But where you've also seen the Democrats, you know, yelling outrage has been in the change of the blue slip process. And so if you look at Paul Mady, who was just recently confirmed to the Third Circuit Court of Appeals the same week that Rao was confirmed, he was confirmed 54-45, and the two home state senators who are Democrats, Robert Menendez and Cory Booker, were opposed to that candidate. Now, in the past, it's been customary that there's this thing called the blue slip. And that's just kind of a customary procedure where you say, hey, this guy is from my home state. We support his nomination to the federal bench because we're the two senators from that state. And it's really just a senatorial courtesy. Well, they refused to return the blue slip on Paul Mady. He's an ex-staff member for New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, former Governor Chris Christie. And so they didn't like him and they didn't want him confirmed and they refused to return the blue slip. And the Senate said, well, you know, forget you. We don't care. We don't care about the blue slip and we don't care about the senatorial courtesy that has been traditionally been offered. So things are getting really nasty in the Senate.
Talking to Kimmy King, professor of political science in the University of North Texas, looking at judicial appointments, the stuff not in the limelight, below the U.S. Supreme Court level. Kimmy, let's talk about now the, I guess, kind of judges, the ideological background of judges. A lot of people point toward the role of the Federalist Society in providing lists of recommendations for potential judges at the Supreme Court level. Talk about that group and what influence they might have.
So one of the things that they do that's incredibly important is that in terms of the kinds of cases that are ultimately passed forward and the decisions that they render, they are creating the record that would ultimately be passed on to the Supreme Court. So particularly in instances of things like abortion or sexual assault, for example, has been one of the issues that Rao got into trouble too. One of the reasons that they did not like her appointment was that she had said controversial things about if women were drunk, they needed to take more responsibility if some kind of harm befell them in sexual assault cases. Well, that sparked a great deal of outrage. And so it's this concern that that kind of ideology will be critical in shaping what kinds of cases we get to the high court. And moreover, if a case doesn't get to the Supreme Court, remember the federal courts of appeal are the last word. It remains the law for that circuit and those states in that circuit until the Supreme Court finally does decide a case that's similar to it. And so it sets up a record for cases in the future that may have a conservative bent. In terms of the kinds of judges that President Trump has been appointing, yes, he has been following the Federalist Society very closely. They're a very conservative organization that looks at the background and the ideology of judges that are nominated to the courts. But also remember that Kavanaugh didn't come in as high on the Federalist list as some people would have liked. And that was one of the criticisms about him before then all of the scandal broke regarding the alleged, the allegations that had been made by Professor Ford. So in general, you are going to be watching for people following the records of the Trump appointees as compared to, say, President Obama or even President Bush before him, because there's reason to believe that these judges will be much more conservative, be more ideologically driven, and will not necessarily be or come from the typical background that we've seen some judges in the past.
Is there a counterpart to the Federalist Society that Democrats rely on when they're in control of the White House?
So they absolutely look to a number of different organizations. One of the things that Republicans have been very critical of is that Republicans have argued that the American Bar Association, which gives ratings to judges, it has long been a criticism out of conservative senators that the American Bar Association is controlled by liberals and so that those ratings ought to not be counted as heavily. And there have been criticisms of some of the Trump ratings. Certainly the Trial Lawyers Association is one of the areas in which you will see Democrats looking for where they might draw potential nominees. what happens is the president and his advisors prepare longer lists of persons that are potential candidates. They keep those lists running at all times. They come from a variety of sectors. They may have even come from areas that may have donated to the president's campaign or persons that have been particularly supportive of a particular judge. Anybody who knows the background on Judge Ruth Bader Ginsburg knows that her husband lobbied quite heavily for her to be pushed toward becoming a Supreme Court justice.
We're talking to Kimmy King from the University of North Texas, looking at the federal court system and the latest round of appointments to courts below the U.S. Supreme Court level and why they matter. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about how this federal court system works and these appointments, the presidential nominations, the confirmation in the Senate? Are you worried about how political, how partisan the fights over these judge nominations have become? Do you think there's a way, there should be a way to make the process less partisan? And when you go to vote for a U.S. senator or a U.S. president, do you have these judicial nominations in mind when you cast your ballot? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about the parts of the federal court system that don't get as much of a spotlight as the U.S. Supreme Court. A lot of the president's nominees getting approved now by the Republican Senate. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you worried about the politics of the process behind how we get all of our judges at the federal level? Are judges and their appointments a voting issue for you? What questions do you have about how all this works? And is there an issue you're wondering about and how it might be affected by these changes in the makeup of federal courts? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Kimmy King is with us, political scientist at the University of North Texas. Kimmy, let's talk about the politics of this now. In voting terms, is this something, this judge nomination issue, something that you think drives voters maybe even to vote for a candidate they might not otherwise like?
Really clear that the actual vote on the Supreme Court justice, as much as I would like to say Supreme Court nominations matter, it's not so much any one given justice that could make a difference. It's really more that there are certain kinds of litmus test issues. So, for example, under Ronald Reagan, for him, the issue of pro-life became very important. And while there was much rumor that he had made abortion a litmus test, it's not clear that that was ever actually the case or that anyone was so hopped up on any one candidate that they tried to oppose them. There was concern in the Kavanaugh nomination, and we have consistently seen the abortion issue come up in nomination hearings. The persons who are nominated for an associate justice or chief justice position on the court have kind of successfully avoided dealing with that. What will be important is that it's the overall view of the court and the shift that Ruth Bader Ginsburg is not a young woman. And when she steps down on off of the court, whoever is president, should she, make it through to the 2020 election and remain on the court, will have the opportunity to replace her. And that will strategically shift the court if it's a Republican. And so that's what you're going to see the Republican Party and the Democratic Party focusing on.
In the past, we've seen judges at the Supreme Court level get appointed by one party or another and then end up voting in ways that aren't necessarily what I think the appointer expected. Do we see surprises like that as much these days at the Supreme Court or the lower court levels?
I'm not sure that you see that much these days. I mean, we're starting to be driven more into ideological corners. You did see Kavanaugh break on some procedural holdings from some of the other conservatives and vote along with Chief Justice John Roberts, who is himself considered to be a conservative, on some issues. But the days of someone like an Anthony Kennedy, who Kavanaugh replaced, being a moderate to conservative swing voter and coming in critical cases and shifting that balance, are not as readily apparent. What you do hear a bunch of people talking about is, especially as it relates to presidential power, I mean, let's focus on some of those key cases. How willing would the court be to limit presidential power? And certainly you have seen Chief Justice John Roberts act in ways that most people kind of thought were, huh, sounds like he's standing up to the president a little bit. So we're just going to have to see how some of those things shake out over time. Many of the instances in which you've seen Roberts ruling against the president are really just cases that are procedural, and it's not necessarily deciding the substance of the merits. But there's much to indicate that Roberts is going to be his own man and that he's not going to just roll over in the face of presidential power.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Mel is with us in New York. Mel, hi. Excuse me. Hi, Mel.
Yeah, right. So thank you. So people didn't realize back in 2016, the presidential election, that the most important thing was about the Supreme Court judges, judge back then and judges subsequently, and all the other judges. They last for a lifetime and could be 20, 30, 40 years, and they shape policy. With the president, if you don't like his policy, you could change it after 4 years.
Mel, thanks for the call. Kimmy Mel saying maybe voters underrate the importance of this issue of appointing judges.
Oh, it's absolutely the case. And so to kind of put a fine point on what your caller was making, it's the difference between the impact of the federal judiciary and what the president can do in shaping policy over the course of the lifetime of his appointments to the federal courts versus whether or not the voting population is queued up enough to go in and to make the issue of, I care about presidential nominations enough to vote for a Democrat or a Republican. It's not the case. Public opinion polls indicate that there's any particular kind of justice that people will vote for, but they most undoubtedly do recognize the lasting impact that a president will have on the appointments to the court.
Mel, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We're talking to Kimmy King from the University of North Texas about the federal court system and what's going on a lot of times under the U.S. Supreme Court level. Lots of people getting approved. Recently, the president's appointees getting approved in the Republican-led Senate. Let's go back to your calls now. Tom is with us in Green Bay. Tom, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What did you want to bring up?
So my question was, it's going to be related to the Mueller report. So let's say if the Mueller report comes out and it shows that President Trump is compromised or he had colluded with Russia, in regards to his Supreme Court picks, as well as those lower court picks, what would happen in the case of, that report showing that the president is compromised? What's going to happen to those Supreme Court picks? Is there potential for them to be removed because,
Tom, I gotcha. Thanks for the call. Kimmy, I'm guessing the answer is no takebacks, right?
Yeah, there's no takebacks. And that's one of the things that actually also piggybacks on what the last caller was saying, is that those nominees are not, It's late in the day and it's Friday. I'm very sorry.
That's okay.
It's the case that once they are appointed to the bench, you are appointed for life. And so if you look at Clarence Thomas, he's been on for over 27 years, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, 25, Breyer, 24, right? It doesn't matter if you were appointed by Bill Clinton and, you were impeached, but they failed to convict you, you still remain on the court. What it will do is that if there is the Mueller investigation there, it throws the rest of the government into chaos if there's something there that is explosive, that demands Senate Judiciary Committee attention, like a potential conviction trial, which they might have to face if, and that's a big if, the House gears up with impeachment proceedings. Remember, Nancy Pelosi has said that she thinks it's a waste of time to go after Trump on impeachment. So we're just going to have to wait for Mueller on that. But they are two different proceedings. What your caller's going to want to watch for is go look at the cases that Chief Justice Roberts has signed on to that relate to presidential power, dealing with immigration or executive orders. And there you will get an indication of whether they'd be willing to back the president on some kind of claim that, say, he can't be sued, for example, in some kind of private related civil proceeding. Those are the things your caller is going to want to watch for.
Thanks, Tom. And briefly, Kimmy, as we wrap up, lifetime appointments for all these judges we're talking about, there is a mechanism to remove them, right?
In theory, yes, but it just doesn't happen as a practical matter. Many people were talking about that as it relates to Kavanaugh. What if there's other information or other women come forward? It's extremely difficult to do. Where you've seen and hasn't been done, William Chase was impeached way back in the early 1800s and never convicted. It has been more likely that federal district judges have been impeached in more and convicted in more recent years, but that's been few and extremely far between.
We'll leave it there. Kimmy, thanks as always for joining us.
You betcha. Always happy to join public radio. Support Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thanks. That's Kimmy King, professor of political science at the University of North Texas. She was with us to talk about how our federal court system works and broader changes to the judiciary under the Trump administration.